I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Behold, he cometh, shouted far and wide. Behold, he cometh, all evil to subside. Behold, he cometh, look up, Christian, look up. Behold, he cometh with fury in his cup. Behold, he cometh, let his people rejoice. Behold, he cometh with triumphant voice. Behold, he cometh, watch Babylon fall. Behold, he cometh, crowned Lord of all. Behold, he cometh with wind and fire and flood. Behold, he cometh, and I'm washed in his blood. Amen. Jesus is a wonderful Savior, a wonderful Savior to me. What a wonderful day this has been. How we rejoice in the good things of the Lord. As we begin the 56th year, I hope that you will understand that the best is yet to come. Pray for the church's ministry. Pray for all the staff. Pray for all of the missionaries and all of the people that are reaching out. Pray for one another. Hasn't the music been wonderful today? As Dr. Norris used to say, none of this Johnny get a cat gun bigger than a rat gun, sis bar boo. But music that glorifies Christ. And I'm so glad we can be a part of it. Well, by the way, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. I want to see what God's thinking about in the Gospel according to John, chapter number 3. As you're finding your place, familiar place, may I remind you again that as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I am going to read to you from that word just one verse in the Gospel according to John, chapter number 3, and that will be verse number 16, and I read after we pray. And now, Heavenly Father, and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is through him and in the Holy Spirit that we approach thy throne of grace. We offer thanksgiving for what you have done for 55 years that this church has stood faithfully, firmly, forcefully, fervently for the truth. Now I pray that in these declining moments of the celebration of the 55th year, that we might see him, we might look for him, anticipate his return, seeing him as he came to earth, as he lived and died, and as he lives again and makes intercession for us as we wait for his return. Bless now, I pray, with the reading of the scripture and the preaching of the word. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Someone said love is the well-being of the total being of another being by your total being. This, I think, tells the story of God's love for all mankind. For you see, ladies and gentlemen, when God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, he gave his total being to our total being in the person of his Son's total being for our well-being. Paul put it this way in Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, hath he not freely with him also give us all things? The most powerful, the most pungent, most penetrating, most pulsating, most wonderful proclamation of all the evangelistic enterprise in the Bible is found in the words of my text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, may have been me, those who deserve love least need it most. John said in the Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. John wrote in 1 John chapter 4 at verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Paul wrote in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, they are the four greatest words in the New Testament. Christ died for us. My friend, I want you to know that Jesus died for you. God's no respecter of persons, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's get Paul's personal testimony. Galatians chapter 2 at verse number 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Someone said, God loves each of us, don't miss this, folks, as though there was only one of us to love. Isn't that an amazing statement? Let me give you that again. God loves each of us as though there was only one of us to love. I've entitled the message, The Greatest Love Story Ever Told. Listen again to the words of my text. Only 25 words, the Bible in miniature. All that is written in the Bible is summed up in this, what is called everybody's text, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Ladies and gentlemen, love rules the day. Love is supreme. Love is supernal. Love is indefinable. Love is indescribable. Love is immeasurable. Love is inexplainable. Someone said that love always answers a distress call without asking who's calling. Love always puts something into an empty hand without asking whose hand it is. Love always goes the second mile when even the first mile is not appreciated. When all else fails, love prevails. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I've become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, and whether there be tongues, they shall cease, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know, we know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Love's story in my text is a divine drama that unfolds itself in six stellar scenes. Scene number one, Jesus came down. I speak of the incarnation, the act of God becoming man. When the Creator became the creature, when the Most High became the Most Nigh. John put it this way, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name is John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Ladies and gentlemen, when we see Jesus, we see God. When we look at God, we see Jesus. He, ladies and gentlemen, is the very image of God. And in the act of the incarnation, he became one of us, that we might become one with him. Scene number two. Jesus reached down. This I refer to as condescension. Jesus had an iron strand in him. He drove the money changers out of the temple. But Jesus was so tender and so kind and so loving and so compassionate that even little children found a comfort zone on his lap. I read in Matthew chapter 18 at verse 2, "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I want to commend again the bus ministry. Brother Bartu and all of your workers, week after week, knocking on doors through cold and rain and hot, bringing them in, spending a lot of the afternoon getting them back. God bless you, dear folks. I was privileged to preach in a church last Sunday in Santa Clara, California. And they had over 1,000 children on buses, all in a building by themselves, and then over 2,000 in the main auditorium. What a marvelous outpouring. What a marvelous day. One of the highlights of my 58 years of ministry in the North Valley Baptist Church there in California. I'm saying that to say this. I'm glad Jesus loves little children. I'm glad that you love little children and pay for the buses and pay for the gasoline and support the workers to bring them in that they might hear about the saving grace of our Lord Jesus. So many of them would never, never, never hear it if somebody didn't go after them and tell them. And looking back in your own life, some of you can remember you may have been a bus rider. I was a bus rider when I was a child. It was an economic necessity back in those days. People didn't have cars. So my dad's church ran 8 or 10 or 12 buses to pick up adults as well as children. And I always liked to ride with them because we had 9 other kids in our car. So I rode the bus. I always asked, what time did the bus leave? I was ready to go. I'm saying all that again to say that Jesus loves little children. And he took them on his lap and he blessed them. And he said, unless you become as one of these, you will never get to heaven. Scene number three. Jesus kneeled down. Come with me to the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke records it in his 22nd chapter, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be the prayer of every Christian. Not my will, but thy will. You know, there are two philosophies that are in the world today by which men govern their lives. One is espoused by Satan. Satan said, I will ascend into the heavens. I will sit on the Most High. I will be like the Most High. I will sit on the sides of the congregation. I will. Jesus espoused the second philosophy. He said, thy will. And my friend, let me tell you, anytime that you boastfully and proudly and obstinately and stubbornly and rebelliously say, I will, you're following the philosophy of Satan. But when you say, thy will, you're following the philosophy of the Savior. Jesus kneeled down. Scene number 4. Jesus laid down. I refer to the crucifixion. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Therefore, Jesus said, doth my Father love me? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. And thank God he did take it up. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor of a dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Scene number 5. Jesus is sitting down. I speak now of his ministry of intercession. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. These are two of the greatest verses in the Bible. I want you to listen to the wording of them very carefully. Hebrews 10, 11. And every priest, now watch this word, standeth daily. Did you get that? Standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, thank God for this man. Who is this man? He's Jesus, the Lamb of God. He's Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. He's Jesus, the rock of our salvation, our refuge, our Redeemer, our Lord, our Master, our King, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. This man, watch it now, after he had offered one sacrifice, not daily, one sacrifice forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from hence expecting until his enemies become his footstool. He sat down at the right hand of God, speaking of power and prominence and preeminence. And there he sits, making for us intercession. Even this moment, as I stand before you, as I've opened the Bible, as I preach the word, I believe he's interceding for me. I believe as you sit on the pew, he's interceding for you. I believe as you start the day tomorrow, he'll be interceding for you. And day by day, he who once in the end of the world appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Oh, my friend, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Scene number 6. Jesus is coming down. I call the Apostle Paul to the witness stand. What say you, Paul, about the return of our Lord? About the resurrection of the dead? About the rapture of the saints? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Oh, did I tell you that Jesus himself said he was coming down? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house or many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Ladies and gentlemen, in God's eternal city, we'll live in mansions and never pay rent. We'll walk on streets of gold and never pay taxes. We'll drink from the fountain of life and never fear contamination. We'll play on a golden harp and never have to take a music lesson. We'll eat from the tree of life and never worry about pollution. We'll sing in heaven's choir and never have to rehearse. We'll live forever and never face retirement or disease or death. And I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky. I'll shout farewell and wipe every tear from this weeping eye. And I can read my title clear. I'm glad he's already gone to prepare the mansion. I'm glad that I'm going to move in one of these days. Maybe sooner than we think. We wait for the sound of the trumpet and the coming of the Lord. Are you ready? You know what the Bible says? Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. May we stand, please, for our prayer. As we stand together and while our heads are bowed, I don't know what you're thinking about tonight. I know one thing, we're living in troublous days, perilous times, last days, difficult days, harsh days, trying days. We have all kinds of jitters, not that you've ever trusted him as your Savior. I would bid you come and trust him tonight. If you're here and you need a church home, I would bid you come and join this fellowship. If you're here tonight and have a burden, a prayer need in your life, I would bid you come as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for this very moment, the moment of invitation when men can be called to Christ, called to Calvary, called to the cross, called to an altar prayer. I pray that you would help us all to be looking and longing and waiting and yearning for his return. I pray that if there's one that's not ready for that tonight, sin in their lives, problems, unconfessed, covered up sin, secret sin, hidden sin, whatever it might be, a sin of the flesh, a sin of the spirit, anything of which they'd be ashamed at the coming of Christ, I pray they'd come and put it on the altar tonight. Help us all, I pray in Jesus' name.